Amen. They were practicing that this week. I think Sunday morning I said, I'll tell you how it feels. It feels real good. Amen. I'm sure you feel the same way tonight. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me. Is that your desire tonight? Just create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within me. Let's stand together and sing it. That last part again as Brother Tim comes to minister for us tonight. Oh, just cast me not away from my presence. Oh, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
And renew a right spirit within me. Amen. How many feels that way tonight? Amen. Say, Lord, just renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Through the renewing of the Holy Ghost. May God grant that. Why don't we just bow our heads together as we talk to the Lord? Father, we're your children tonight, having gathered together in your name, and we want to express our love and gratitude to you, the Almighty God. And knowing, Lord, that you have orchestrated these meetings this weekend and ordained this time that we have together with your children. And as we will fellowship around your word, Lord, around the revealed truth that came through a prophet, Malachi 4. Lord, we thank you for a restoration message. And I ask, Lord, that you'll just touch hearts and lives tonight and reveal yourself through the word to each heart. Lord, you know the needs of every individual that is here. Lord, the needs of this church, the needs of the ones that have come into this building. Lord, you know exactly where they are, what their location is, and you're able to speak to their heart. Yes. into their lives and reveal yourself into them. I pray, God, that you'll just even cause us to leave our text to minister to one soul. Yes, Lord, every need supply, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Before you're seated, we're going to look into the scripture tonight and just want to read the word before you're seated. Amen. And before we go too far in the service, we just want to acknowledge him through prayer and through the Bible reading. Revelation 7, verse 13, and one of the elders, Revelation 7, 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. May God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I want to just greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus and say what a privilege it is to be here together with you. And amen. I want to express my appreciation to Brother Nathan for inviting us and the time of fellowship we've had together with him and his wife and family. And we've certainly been treated royally since we've been here. Amen. And I got some different ones from Louisiana that are with me. Of course, my wife, Karen, and my son, Timothy, and his wife, Ruth, and four grandchildren. Got one of my best friends back there, Brother George Hamilton. He's all the way at the back, backing me up real good. So, and some of you might know that's Sister Tina Bryant's father, and Tina's my blonde-headed daughter, you know. So, you know, she's real special to our family. Grew up in spent a lot of time in our home, and we love her a lot. Amen. You got a jewel and a treasure here. Literally a treasure, right? Amen. And then Sister Amy Johnson over there is here. All of this is kind of a bit of a surprise to me. Brother Timothy was preaching up at the youth camp in just the north of here in Indianapolis, and he was supposed to go back home and mind the store, but he took a sachet down this way to be with us, and we appreciate that very much. And many of you might not know me. Maybe this is the first time that we've met. You know, it really is important that you know me. It's important that you know who Jesus is. Amen. And that, you know, that God has delivered to us a message in this day that we are really appreciative of. We were, you know, again, you know, we've been through here through the many years. Back in the 70s at the Branham Tabernacle and the Easter meetings and, you know, down through time that we've enjoyed visiting here and passing through and whatever. We was received quite royally at the Voice of God recordings the other day, and they gave us a grand tour and just had a wonderful time there. And we really appreciate the work that they're doing for the Lord and where they're reaching out into all the world. And that's, you know, that's all of our job. Amen. It's to reach out into the world and to help to get the message out, because we're interested, and I'm interested in every soul that we can find. Amen. Because, you know, it's a little different. I can receive, and I did receive the Holy Ghost, maybe at a different time than you received the Holy Ghost, but it's not going to be that way with the rapture. Right. You know, we're all going to be changed together. And I can't go without you. Amen. And that's why I'm interested in you. Amen. Because I want to go. I'm ready to leave. But I can't leave without you. Amen. So, you know, everything that we can do to encourage somebody else to get ready to meet the Lord, we want to do that and encourage and build up the body of Christ. And we've been privileged to preach around the world. And, amen, I'm getting to preach again to one of my Arkansas buddies right here, Brother Truman Jackson, his wife, Sister Carol. What a wonderful privilege that is to see them again. And I'm getting around and looking. It's starting to feel like home. Amen. Just to see all the different ones and have a privilege of being together. You know, I've been around the world in these 45 years of ministry that I've ministered since I was 15 years old. I've ministered this message with all of my heart. And, you know, we've carried us around the world into Moscow, Russia, down into the underground churches in China, and down into dark Africa, many places there, and over into Europe, and down into Mexico, and wherever that we've been, we found that God has a bride, a people, that He has chosen for His namesake. And let me just give you a report. The bride of Jesus Christ is alive and well.
Amen.
She's meeting exactly the criteria that He prophesied that we would be in this end time. And if we are lacking anything, we're going to be everything He said. Because His word cannot fail. Amen. Are you Brother Trevor? All right. God bless you, Brother Trevor. See there, there's another one of my friends. Amen. Well, I could almost take off my coat. You know, I used to preach years ago. Used to preach in an old open-air building. You know, we didn't have a place to go, and it was an old abandoned building. We swept it all up, and the window panes was knocked out, and we had no screens, and there was no AC. There was one little receptacle and six light bulbs hanging from the old building that was built back in the 1800s, and that was all the conveniences that we had, an old outdoor toilet that we made. And you know, one time I was preaching away, and it was hot in that place, so I just took my tie off and I went to throw it behind me. Well, it went right out the window. Sometimes I think that's about what they're good for, is just to be taken off and throw out the window. But anyway, it's just good to be together with God's people and to find them around the world, you know, loving the Lord and serving the Lord. And if many of you don't know me, so I'll just introduce myself and by saying it this way. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 5 years old, and I've never taken it back.
Amen.
Amen. I started preaching this message when I was 15. I tell you, I was in Brother Branham's meetings in Shreveport, and was so impacted just as an 11-year-old boy sitting in the meetings. The last meetings I was in was on the wings of a snow-white dove. And just a tremendous service. Sat on the edge of my pew, my seat, you know, just listening there. And of course, I listened to it through the mind of an 11-year-old, but still, I was a little different 11-year-old. I'd asked for my birthday I wanted a suit, a Bible with my name on it, because I was getting ready to preach then. Amen. I did start preaching when I was 15, been ministering now for 45 years, and been pastoring a little church that we were at for 43 years. I got a wonderful family, one son who's also a minister, and ministered around the world too, been places that I hadn't been, three daughters who are married, and they all serve the Lord, and we just are grateful for what God has done in our lives. And you know, this message has changed us and made something out of us. And I tell you, you're the greatest proof. People want proof of the message. You're the greatest proof of this message. Amen. To see a changed life, an overcomer in this day and hour that we're living in. Amen. People who can stand up in this evil age and live for God. I tell you, that's the greatest proof of this message, is that it works. Amen. It's not a powerless religion, but it's something that will change a life. And I've just seen it do it time after time. We also have a youth camp that we started back in 1987. You know, so for almost nearly 30 years now, this was our 29th camp. And we just seen tremendous things. God bring healing, deliverance, salvation, and people filled with the Holy Ghost, a move of God. And I'll just testify, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is willing to meet a hungry heart no matter where it is. Amen. So we appreciate the Lord and for His goodness to us in our lives. Amen. He is gracious. Amen. I could talk a long time, and we could just, just have a nice time like that. But I believe, you know, one thing that is really important is that we just get into the Word of God and look into the truths that we have. And I just, you just pray for me that I can just find that vein of anointing tonight. And God will minister to hearts and touch the lives as He wills tonight. You know, we read tonight actually a text that has to do with the foolish virgins or the tribulation saints. And when Brother Branham speaks and preaches on the sixth and the seventh seal, he clearly identifies who these people are that John did not recognize. And out of this tribal people, there had come forth 12,000 out of each tribe and a total of 144,000. And John recognizes his own people. But when he looks at this group, it's a group that he doesn't recognize. And when John is asked by the elders, who is this great multitude who are arrayed in white linen? And he replies, sir, thou knowest. And then the elder begins to identify these. And he uses some descriptive language to describe who they are. And it's very important we understand the language that is used about those who are coming out of great tribulation. We first notice that they are sanctified ones, for they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. In verse 16, we find that they still hunger and they're still thirsty, because from this point on they will hunger no more or thirst no more. And verse 17, they are fed by the Lamb and are led into fountains of living water, or living fountains of water. And they still have a thirst. And He is leading them to a place, to a position where their thirst can be quenched. And as we look at these people who come through great tribulation, they missed the rapture. And they're thirsting, and yet they're led then to fountains of living water. And that makes the question come up in our minds. Doesn't all believers thirst? Doesn't everybody thirst? Certainly, all believers thirst. But their thirst has been quenched and satisfied by Almighty God. For they have met the thirst quencher. And that's what we're going to speak on tonight, the thirst quencher. But this multitude without number that we read about, it, they've come through this great trial of the tribulation period. And they are still thirsty, as their thirst still hasn't been quenched. And they're going to be led to fountains of living water. But what does it mean for the thirst to be quenched? There is a natural thirst that is in every human being, whether it's sinner or saint. Every person thirsts. You're born with a thirst or desire for God. For you were made to desire God. You see, animals don't desire God, but human beings desire God. You never see an animal making a statue or creating an idol to worship or building churches or houses of worship. There's no form of worship that you can find or see in animals, but that is actively trying to worship something. But man wants to worship something. And you read in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 10 when we're instructed not to learn the way of the heathen who takes the axe and will cut down a tree and make an object of worship with the work of his own hands. Because man would try to carve something out of wood and deck it with gold or with silver. And after working on it, making it with his hands, you know, then he would turn around and bow down to it and worship it. They were senseless idols that have to be carried and that are dumb and cannot speak. Idols that you can pray to that will never answer a prayer. But why does man do this? Because man has always hungered and thirsted after God. He was made to do that. It is because that man has a soul. So he was made then to desire, to want to know the Creator. Man wants to live, so he looks for a way to enjoy life to his fullness. You know, Brother Branham would share some of these, his observations with us. He once was in a hotel lobby that he tells about, and there were some people there having a party after he came in from preaching, and he's on his way back to his room, and he passes through the lobby, and he said, "I stood back in the shadows. They were too drunk to recognize me standing there, and they came by, lovely-looking women. And men pulling them into the rooms and men fussing about them. And I noticed as I passed by, she stopped. She taking a big drink from a bottle, handed it over to the other one. And they kind of make a real dirty, smutty remark. And she said, "Whoopee, this is life." And he said, "I thought, how mistaken you are, lady. That's death. The Bible said the woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she's living." How the devil has made people believe that that was life. Some people think that smoking, gambling, drinking, reveling is life. That's death, a perverted life. It is not life. It cannot be life. That kind of life becomes so miserable till many times people take a gun or something and rid themselves of that life. So that could not be the kind of life the psalmist is speaking of when he said, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." It is not life. And he said, "I thought, then what makes people do that? How come that men and women will do those things?" And I thought this: God created man to thirst for life. Now, isn't it strange and yet so wonderful that Brother Branham could look at somebody who was drinking or smoking or, in this account, committing adultery and men pulling women in the rooms and calling this behavior life. And yet he could look at this and say, the reason this is happening, the reason they are this way is because they're really thirsting for life. You see, that's why they're doing all of this wickedness, is because they're really thirsty. And they're not satisfying it with something that will truly quench that thirst. But they're trying something else to satisfy this thirst. But it'll never do it. It will never bring the life that they want. They will end up with a gun to their head or swallowing a bunch of pills to take their life. And Brother Branham continues to say, that thirst that's in you is a creation of God. And right and wrong is set before you as a tree of life and death in the Garden of Eden. And God made you to thirst. And how dare you to take that blessed thirst that God put in you, to thirst after Him and to try to quench it with the things of the world. The devil trying to make men and women run to the nightclubs and cocktail parties and live immorally because they are thirsting. Amen. And that thirst that is in you is of God. And it can never be satisfied until Christ, that fountain of everlasting life, fills your soul. It is totally impossible. The devil will make you believe you're living, but you're dead in sins and trespasses. So you see, the thirst quencher is the only thing that will satisfy the longing that's in a human heart. Amen. He continues to say, last night I was going to the hotel. I noticed two nice ladies as a wife and I were walking in, beautiful young girls, somebody's darling, somebody's mother or father, maybe a little old dad has sweated out hard to feed them. They were dressed very nattily and they went into the door and they were entered into right into a bar, a dingy dark with cigarette smoke and whiskey fumes coming from it. I thought, oh, you're walking right into the jaws of hell, into the jaws of death. You may differ with me. You may say, that's just an old fogey. But my friend, in the end of this life, you'll find out that this is the truth. It's death. You're trying to satisfy a hunger. You're trying to satisfy a thirst with the things of the world. And that thirst was not given to you to be quenched by the things of the world, but by Christ, the inexhaustible fountain of life. And when you try to satisfy him with that perverted way, tomorrow you'll wake up with a headache or with a heartache, and you'll live immorally, and you've got to face the world with a scar on you the rest of your life. You only get death by doing so. You see, out of trying something else beside Christ to satisfy the craving that's down on the inside. And Brother Branham said, let me invite you to a fountain that's open in the house of God. Hallelujah. To a smitten rock, to a crucified rock, that life-giving water came out of. Amen. Jesus invited us. Whosoever will, let him come to me. Amen. And quench their thirst. They will never thirst again. What a promise that is. Amen. The devil makes you another way for you to quench your thirst. And sometimes it can be a religious thirst. Well, I'll just go to church and I'll join a church or join a group of people who I think is right, and you'll end up with just as much hypocrisy in your life or something worse than going to a bar room to quench your thirst. Amen. It's amazing sometimes how, though, that people sometimes will come to a fountain. And I believe this is a fountain. I believe this is a place where the water of life is flowing. Amen. Amen. Where the Holy Ghost can move and touch a heart and deliver a life. But it's amazing how close that some people will come to the fountain and refuse to drink of it. Amen. They'll get right in the midst where the blessings are flowing down and the power of God is moving and souls are being saved and people are being delivered. And in the midst of that, sit right there in the same service and refuse to drink that water. Amen. Now, there was a woman one day down in a well that Jesus had to meet. Amen. The Bible said he had a need to go by Samaria. Can you imagine the Almighty God had a need? But he had a need to pass by because there was a seed of his he was looking for. Hallelujah. He had a divine appointment for her life. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Because you've had that divine appointment in your life. Amen. Where he met you and he went by Samaria to meet her. Listen, he had come all the way from glory to find people like her. Amen. Amen. He'll do everything to do that. Come on. He came from heaven. He went to the cross. He raised again. He ascended back. He sent the Holy Spirit. He brings us right down to this last age. Amen. He sends a prophet with a message. He anoints men to preach the gospel. Amen. Why? Why? Because he has a need to pass by your way. He has a divine appointment for your life. Amen. And here was this woman. He couldn't even talk to her in front of his disciples. You know, he had to send them away to talk to her. She was not of his race. Neither was she a woman of his character. Amen. Fact of matter, she wasn't a woman that most men would want to be seen talking to. Amen. If they would meet her, it'd be in a dark corner somewhere in the shadows sleeping out where nobody would see them. Amen. But now he comes down to Jacob's well. And Jacob in John 4 and 6 said Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me the drink. And he starts engaging the woman in a conversation. Now all the other men that she had met, perhaps had engaged her for the wrong reason. Amen? To perpetuate that thirst that was in her. to try to pet it or try to gratify it with somebody else. But Jesus, the true thirst quencher, was the only man that could offer her something that could quench that thirst within her heart. Now she had already had five men. The one she was living with wasn't her husband. But here comes along the seventh man. And here he comes now. He's the thirst quencher. He's going to answer the thirst that's always been in her little heart all of her life. Amen. So here again, he is the only one that can satisfy the thirst that is there. Now, his disciples had gone away in the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is this that thou being a Jew asketh me a drink? And which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give of thee living water. Amen. If you only knew, Jesus saying, let me paraphrase it. If you only knew who you were talking to. Amen. Oh, if we could only come to the house of God like this tonight and realize who is here. Amen. If we could only realize for a moment who it is that's really talking to us. Who it is that's trying to reveal himself. As he ascended on high and he sent gifts back to the earth and he equips a man that can come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and become a vehicle through which he can speak to bring you a message. Yeah. Amen. That'll discern your heart. That'll reveal your needs. Yeah. Oh, if you could only recognize that it's him that is among us and could know the gift of God. Then you would say, oh God, give me a drink. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could only realize the gift of God. Amen. Oh, you say, I would recognize it if it was in Jesus. Surely I would recognize that gift. But oh brother, what would you do in this day? Amen. Whatever you're doing today is what you'd have done then. Right. Amen. Let me tell you, when you come to the house of God like this, it's important that you recognize the gift of God. It's important that you realize God is going to speak to you through that gift. Amen. And minister to you through that gift. Amen. If you could only realize it's him among us, then you would say, oh God, give me a drink. Amen. Let me get something that'll quench this thirst that's down on the inside. Amen. And so the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof, and his children and his cattle? Now listen, this was a Samaritan woman. She was part Jew and Gentile. If you read the history of the Bible, you would find the Babylonians, when they would capture countries, they would take people from one country and resettle them in another foreign country that was foreign to them, in a foreign land. They would do this because they would uproot like the Jews and send them here and there, away from their homeland. Because that way they would break their power because they're out of their homeland. And then they would take other people and relocate them in what was once Israel. And so they had done this, with the Samaritans. You find the Samaritans spoke of first time in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 17. And they said, the lions have gotten loose on us. And we know it is because we know it's we don't know the God of this land. So we want to learn about the God of this land. So they were there. The Samaritans were saying, look, the lions are loose. There's trouble happening to us because we are not paying honor to the God of this land. So they said, what we want to do is appease that God. So send us a priest and let him teach us about Jehovah. And that the only reason they wanted to do that was to appease this God while they continued to serve other gods. Mm-hmm. And so they were a hybrid race. Perhaps some of them had even married into with the Israelites. And Israel did what God told them not to do because they were to keep their seed pure. So and remember, that's so true, because a believer must never marry an unbeliever. Amen. You know the reason why you never marry an unbeliever? You get their gods. You bring the unbeliever's gods in your home. Gods of television. Gods of Hollywood. Gods of sin. Come on. Amen. So a believer should never marry an unbeliever. Amen. You shouldn't even date one. Amen. Don't even play with it. Amen. Don't even toy with the idea. Don't even bring him to church hoping he'll get converted. Because he'll change for you. Or she'll change for you. And it's never the right motive. Are you with me? Now, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water that you're drinking of shall thirst again. But whoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, oh listen to this, shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, this is what God wants to give you. Amen. He wants to give you a well that's within you. Amen. One that's a satisfying portion everywhere you go, everywhere you live, every day on your job, everywhere you're at school or wherever, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, bubbling up. Amen. Washing the world away, washing the trash away, washing every stain of sin away, and giving you something, that thirst-quenching water. Oh, hallelujah. And that woman said, give me, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus then began to work on her problem. He began to look at that thirst. And he began to say, go call your husband and come here. And the woman said, well, I have no husband. And Jesus said, thou said, well, I have no husband, for thou had five husbands. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In this I said truly. Now Jesus goes right to her problem. Her problem was this. She was thirsty. She had tried one man. That didn't satisfy. So she tried another man, and he didn't satisfy. Then she tried another and another and another until her life was so scarred. And she was so disgraced. She was in this condition because she was thirsty. I want you to think of that. You know, the devil didn't know about this woman was that she was a predestinated seed. He could not know. You know, the devil don't know whether you're predestinated or not. And he's always doubting it. He's always questioning it. Amen. He's always probing, trying to figure out whether you are or not. Amen. The only way that you can know is God reveal it to you. No preacher can tell you. Amen. Nobody can put you in and nobody can put you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. It's a white stone that's given to you that no man knows, no one knows but he that receives it. Amen. It's a revelation you get from God. Amen. With a new name that's written. When you look in there, you see your name written. You know who you are. You know where you come from. And you know where you're going. And nobody can ever take that away from you. And nobody can ever argue that out of you. And there's no debater that can take that from you. Because once it's revealed to you, brother, you've got it. Amen. You know who you are. Ain't enough devils in hell that can stop it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, every time it would crawl out, listen, there was a seed on the inside of her. And that seed was crying for expression. Amen. It was calling for expression. Every time it would call out, the devil would hand her another woman or another man to try. And it wouldn't satisfy. And neither will the world satisfy you. And neither will sin and evil ever satisfy predestinated seed. There is a longing in your heart that only God can satisfy. Hallelujah. She had tried religion even, and that didn't satisfy. Come on. Amen. She was a very religious person. She said that, you know, our fathers worship on this mountain. Amen. And we say worshiping up here on this mountain, and you Jews say worship in Jerusalem. Amen. She had a confession of faith. She had a religion that she believed in. But it didn't satisfy her. And nothing will satisfy a predestinated seed until they meet God. Until they have that personal encounter with Almighty God, and He changes that life. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've tried going to church, Brother Tim, and I'm still thirsty. Well, that's because you didn't drink. Amen. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What good is it to have fountains of water springing out and the Holy Ghost moving, being afforded to every man from a church that is saying, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And a ministry pounding service after service after service, saying there is a balm in Gilead. There is a healer here. There is a deliverer in our midst. But then you won't take the medicine. You won't drink the water. Brother Branham would say in Thirsting for Life, let me invite you tonight as Jesus did the woman at the well who came with a water pot to drink, take water from the well of Jacob. And Jesus said to her, bring me a drink. And she said, the well's deep, thou hast nothing to draw with. But he said, if you knew who he was talking to and who that asked you, you would ask me for a drink. And I'd give you waters. You didn't come here to Jacob's well to draw. Where is this water? She said. He said, it's a spring of water springing up in the soul to everlasting life. And then he started dealing with her thirst. Here's what you've been doing. You've been trying to satisfy that godly thirst. And what you tried hadn't satisfied you yet. You've had five husbands. The one you're living with is not your husband. You tried religion and you're thinking it's some form. I'll try this. I'll turn a new leaf. I'll make a promise. I'll vow a new vow. I'll be a good person. None of that'll work. Right. Amen. The rich young ruler, he had a thirst that he tried to satisfy with money. There's only one thing that will satisfy. Amen. And that is to repent and to turn from sin and come to the fountain. And I tell you what, if I were you tonight, I would immerse myself in it. Amen. Until it became a fountain of living water. I'd run right into it with everything that I had. I wouldn't waste another moment, another time. You got enough wasted years. You got enough wasted time. Why waste your time? Amen. Brother Branham said the first taste she got of that when she recognized him and confessed him to be Messiah, he told her that she was living in adultery. And he said, thou must be a prophet. We know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. He said, I'm the one that speaks to you. She dropped her old water pot. She had tasted. Oh, listen now. She had tasted something so much better. She ran into the city with a message on her heart. Come see a man who told me everything I did. It was different. He said, if you never tasted nothing but the water from Jacob's cold form of well, you come to Messiah once to that fountain of life. It'll be different from then on. Amen. It gives you hope that nothing else can. It's the only way to life. Notice what Jesus said in these words, and you compare it with the foolish virgins. Those who go through tribulation, those who go through this awful purging of tribulation, they did it because they never drank from the water of life. Had they done it, it would have been a well of living water. It would have been something that they received at the white throne judgment where they finally drink of the waters of life. The foolish virgins only believe unto. They say, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. He's my substitute for sins. And you know, it is asking for forgiveness of sins past, but then never receiving that life. You see, when one drinks of this water, you will never thirst again. Amen. Psalms 42 and 1 said, as a hart the deer panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for a living God.
Amen.
Amen. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, David was longing and wanting that new birth. Amen. He was saying, I'm thirsty for a living God. You see, you'll never satisfy the thirst in a heart with a dead God. Come on. You can give them a dress code and a set of rules. It'll never satisfy the thirst in the heart. The only thing that will satisfy the thirst in the heart is a living God. Amen. That's why we as a church must not offer just a bunch of creeds. Amen. Now wait a minute. Creed means, it's a Greek word meaning I believe. This is what I believe. And so you just give them a set of beliefs. Amen. But we must not just offer them a set of creeds. Amen. Or a bunch of rules or regulations. But a living God. Amen. But a God that has changed lives. A God that saves from sin. A God that heals the sick. A God that brings deliverance. That's what we got to offer to a dying world. Nothing else will work. There's enough churches on the corner. There's enough of them giving rules and regulations and forms of beliefs and society to join to. We must not offer them just another group of people like that. We must offer them a living God. Amen. How we must strive to have the fountain of living water flowing in every service. The anointing of the Spirit. It's got to be on our songs. It's got to be in the ministry. It's got to be in the people. Come on, church. It can't just be in up on the pulpit. It's got to be in the pew. Amen. Every person there having that living water and it flowing out. Flowing out. Amen. Bringing life to a thirsting world. Because there's a thirsty world out there. David was wanting that new birth. He spoke of that water. But it wasn't yet given. The Bible tells you the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. But the Bible said there's a fountain that is open in the house of David for the cleaning of the soul. And then David, being a man who dwelt in the woods, and he learned a lot about wildlife. In one of the Psalms he cried, as a hart, which is a deer, as a hart thirsts for the water brook, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. Oh my, how we need to be a place that's a water brook. That God can bring and send a thirsty soul, a wounded soul, to come and immerse himself in that fountain of water, that life-giving water. He said, as a hart that which is a deer thirsts for the water, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. I've often wondered what David wrote about that. Until I learned about deers, and back in that country and other countries, they had wolves and wild dogs and they attacked the deer because he's the easy prey for them. Amen. Now, you know you were that deer. You were being chased by the hounds of hell that swore they would destroy you. Listen, the devil's been out to destroy you from the day you were born. Amen. You were running. Every man is running. And you would ran right into a death trap. You were running into total exhaustion until the hounds of hell were going to get you. Every sinner, the hounds of hell are on your trail. They're yapping right after you. They won't let you sleep at night. Your bed becomes so hard and your pillow's so hard you can't sleep and you can't rest and there's no peace because you hear coming along that trail the hounds of hell picking up your scent coming right behind you. Maybe it isn't something you hear. They're just sneaking up in the shadows ready to pounce on you just the moment you're vulnerable. And I'll tell you, outside of Christ, you're vulnerable. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, you're very vulnerable. Those deer would be attacked by the wolves because they were an easy prey. And you're an easy prey for sin. You can never, you can say, well, I'll tell you what, now, Brother Tim, I'm different than everybody else. I will be moral. I'll make my vows. I'll make my promises. Let me tell you, it'll never work. Amen. You can make vows and promises to only break them. Come on. Because your adversary, the devil, is on your path. He's on your trail. He's after you. He's there in the shadows. He's over the next hill. He's around the next curve. He's there everywhere you look. He's there pouncing out of the shadows. You think, well, I'll straighten up and do right, and I'll be a decent person. It won't help. Here he'll come from this way or that way or another way. Amen. You see, as Brother Branham would say, that's a very good type of the devil. You take a beautiful woman or a handsome young man. That's the very prey for the sins of the world. Just to prey a little innocent boy, 16, 17, or a little girl, just to prey to the devil to feast on. Those wild dogs lay in ambush. I've seen it in Africa. I've seen it in other countries. They'll jump on those little deer. First thing they'll do is try to break the string behind their legs, and they can't run. We call it, in a hunter's voice, hamstring them. And then, if he cannot grab them there, he grabs them at the throat and jerks the jugular vein loose. It bleeds to death in just a moment. Then there's the flank on the deer. He'll run up and sink his teeth into that. If he's a big, heavy dog and a small deer, he can throw that deer on the ground from his flank. And he's got him in mid-center, swings the deer off his feet. And as the dog grabs it and throws himself over, he throws the deer to the ground. And they go right in and tear that little fellow to pieces. Listen, the devil don't want to do anything but to destroy you. Amen. What does sin have to offer? It only offers a broken home. Ruined children. When you get down at the end of the road, you might have built mansions. You might be a great person in this life. But really, what does it have to offer you? One day you're coming down to the end of it all. And the end is closer than you think, because there is a rapture that is promised to the saints. All the wrath of God will be poured out on the earth. Let me tell you, we are not at the beginning of the end. We are here at the end. Things are happening very rapidly all around us. Everything is getting its position. You also got to get in your position. Amen. You say, Brother Tim, I bet you've been preaching 45 years. You preached the coming of the Lord back 45 years ago. I did. And he's come for many. There's been a many lay in front of the pulpit that he came for. Little ones, young ones, young men, old men. He's come for many. And you don't know but what he'll come for you tonight. So you say, well, you preach the coming of the Lord, yeah? And I'm still... believe we're part of that coming. Amen. We're here in the end time. But let me tell you something. He's come for many already. Not the rapture. It's not the resurrection. It's not the rapture. But he came for them. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And Brother Branham would say, many times a mouth of the flesh pulls out a mouth of flesh, and the deer is so quick, he can maneuver his little body so fast. Sometimes he can get away from them when the dogs are rolling. Before he can get up, the deer can get away. But if there's any hunters here that knows that a wounded deer's got to find water right now. And he said, I could imagine seeing that little deer with blood running out of him. And he's watching and he's panting and he's looking for the water brook. If that deer can just get to that water, he'll live. Oh my. If he can only get to the water. Sometimes you shoot a deer, it's so wounded, he'll never make it to the water. But sometimes he'll fall even in the water, and he's just too badly wounded. But some of them, they're wounded, and they would die from their wounds. But then they get in that water. And when they get in that water, they drink and they drink and they drink. And Brother Branham would say, I trailed them many times. When they cross the creek and drink and run down the creek a little bit and run up the hill and cross back and get more water, he'll just keep running as long as he can get to water. But if he doesn't get to water, he'll perish. And that's what David said. My soul is thirsting after you. Like the heart, I must have you, God, or perish. You know, David discovered that 500 women couldn't satisfy him. Amen. You see, he had to go and find out. He had to go and take somebody else's wife. Right? 500 couldn't satisfy him. So he goes and takes somebody else's. Amen. David found out all his pledges and his promises could not hold him. The vows that he had made. The times that he'd read the scripture and memorized the scripture. And he'd say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I not sin against thee. And then he goes right around it all to go get Bathsheba. Amen. That's why these movements like Promise Keepers won't work. Where they sign a card, I'll live true to my wife. It won't last. It's not lasting. Come on, somebody. There's only one thing that can hold you. And that's when the thirst quencher comes on the inside of you. And he said, tonight, into this sinful world who has been bitten by the mad dogs of hell. Listen to this prophet. Oh, with all the modern jazz music and the dirty television programs, cracking jokes and so forth like that. Your mad dog bit. You're trying to quench that thirst with stagnated waters of the devil. May your heart become so thirsty that you must find Christ or die. The deer as he thirsts for the water brook, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. Just take a drink from there. Listen to this. You'll never have to hear another sermon on morals or how to dress and how to act and how to conduct yourself. Amen. Now, I'm not against preaching holiness. I believe in preaching holiness. But let me tell you, those that have really got their thirst quenched don't need another sermon on it. Amen. They don't need to be told how to dress. They don't have to be corrected on. Are you with me? Because they have had their thirst satisfied and Hollywood will never sway them. Nothing else in the world will ever pull them around. Are you with me, church? Amen. But I tell you, when the thirst quencher comes on the inside of you, man, you know, the only thing that will satisfy you from then on is more of God. More of this word. Are you with me, church? Amen. Brother Branham would say in the sixth seal, what makes a man do wrong? What makes him drink and carry on? Or a woman do wrong? Is because there's something in her thirsting, something in him thirsting. And they're trying to quench that holy thirst with the things of the world when God ought to be that quench. He made you that way to thirst. And that's the reason you thirst for something. God made you that way so you'd turn that holy thirst to him. But when you try to quench that thirst, how dare anybody do that? You have no right to do that, to try to quench that holy thirst that you thirst for something and you turn it into the world. Try to satisfy it with the world. You can't do it. There's only one thing that will fill that up, and that's God. He made you that way. Amen. And you know, even as Christians, sometimes we look at people who have done awful sins and say, what an awful person. But really, if we could look at it and just see it, that it's a thirsting human being, that maybe if I could just get to them, I could give them or offer them a drink. You see, he didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. He came to call the sinner and the ungodly. That's who he came to save. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. The only way you can ever be saved, first of all, is to know you're lost. It's one of the most blessed things to know you are lost. Amen. Listen here. You can't lose my wallet because it's not in your possession. Amen. You could not be lost from God unless you were first his. Come on. Amen. It's because that you were in him. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And you were lost from him because of sin. And he came to redeem you. Amen. Amen. He came to find you.
Amen. He'll come right down here tonight looking for you. Amen. Because he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And one of the greatest revelations you could ever have is, I was lost. I am lost. I need a Savior. Amen. I need deliverance. I can't find my way out of this mess. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried reformation, I've tried rehab, I've tried this, and nothing will work. Nothing happened. I'm lost. I need a Savior. And when you realize you need a Savior and you turn to God, that's when he can save you. Amen. What a blessed thing to realize I was lost. Because if I was lost, I was his originally. Amen. Amen. I love to tell the story about a little boy. He was a little boy that he built him a little boat. And he loved this little boat. And he built it with his hands, crafted it. It was a nice little ship that he had made, you know, out of wood. And he had worked on it for days and was what was in his mind. And he formed it and made it. He would take it out then on the waters, and he would sail it up and down the shores there. He enjoyed playing with it. One day while they were out there and he was sailing his little boat, a big wind came up and blew it way away from him and was out of his reach. And he watched it sail out of sight. And he was crushed, you know, my boat is gone. Oh, I want my boat. And every day he would go down to the shore. Maybe it washed up. Perhaps it's here somewhere. And he would look for that little boat. And he couldn't find it. One day he was down in the town. And he passed by a pawn shop. And there he saw in the window of the pawn shop his sailboat. And he looked at there and he said, "That's my boat." And he said, "I want my boat. But look at the price. It's got lots of dollars on this thing, and I don't have that kind of money." So he went and sold everything that he had, all his toys, his bike, everything that he had. And he got the money, and he went back down to that pawn shop, and he paid the price. And he walked out of that pawn shop with that little boat clutched to his heart. And he said, "Little sailboat, you are mine. You're twice mine. You're mine when I made you, and you're mine when I bought you." Amen. And that's what he says about you tonight. You're mine. You're twice mine. You were mine, amen, when I made you in my mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. And then you were lost from me. But you're twice mine because now I have purchased you with all my blood. Hallelujah. I left all of heaven. I gave it all up to come down and redeem you. Amen. This is the God that we serve. He would say in Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty." He's calling out. It's like, you know, the word means stop, everyone that thirsteth. "Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you labor? You spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not. Hearken diligently unto me, and ye eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Oh, I say, what an opportunity. The word calling out from every scripture. Sometimes people say, "I wish God would speak to me." Well, just look at the Bible. Amen. "I wish he would talk to me." Well, how many promises do you have to have? Amen. "I wish God cared for me. He came all the way down from glory." Amen. "Because of you and because of your sin. And he knew you were thirsty. And he was the thirst quencher." Oh, let me tell you, no one ever cared for you like Jesus. No one would ever give you his life. Amen. You say, "Well, I just can't believe Jesus would save me." Well, you can sure believe the devil will send you to hell. Amen. You can sure believe that the life you're living is destroying you. Well, then why don't you turn around and believe in something that's right? Amen. You know what unbelief is? It's faith aimed in the wrong direction. That's exactly right. You're believing in the wrong thing. It's unbelief. I mean, you believe it ain't for you. You believe it isn't real. You believe. You see, if you can ever turn that around. That's what Malachi 4 came to do, was to turn the heart. Amen. Where that you be pulled toward God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because that's exactly the purpose of the message, was to turn your heart back to faith, away from unbelief. Amen. Now, Brother Branham would say, there's so many things of our day. There's so much enticed people. And that's the truth. In our age, there's more enticement than there has been in any other age. To what we would call pleasure, he says. For it's all for people and for all ages. There are the enticements for the young people, the modern dances, the rock and roll party. We could take it a little further down, the rap. The music that they have that goes with it. It's all for enticing entertainment. You say, well, oh, now that isn't enticing. It is enticing. It's a call to your soul. Amen. It wants to destroy you. People think, oh, you know, country and western music, that's harmless. It's not harmless. It wants to destroy you. Amen. You think it's harmless? It isn't. It wants to take you down to where your tears are in your beer. It wants to take you down where your little children are ragged and your little wife is broken and your home is tore all apart. Amen. That's what it wants to do. It glorifies sin. Somebody said to me, oh, Brother Tim, I like country and western music. It's about life the way it really is. I said, not my life. I said, that ain't my life. You know, here some time ago they talked about rock and roll, you know, playing it backwards, and there's all kinds of satanic voices and things on it. I said, I sometimes wonder if they ought to play country music backwards. All right. Amen. You play that backwards, the man gets his wife back, the children have a home. Amen. There's no more alcohol anymore and drugs and cigarettes. Come on. Amen. Play it backwards once. Turn it around. Amen. You see, but that rap will get you to glorifying sin and shaking away until you're shaking your way down to hell. It's jerking and pulling you, right, you know, and you not knowing it's pulling you every step of the way right down into hell. All right. Brother Branham would say, I don't care how good a home a child is brought up in, how it's been taught to do right. If that child hasn't accepted the experience of the new birth, rock and roll music catches his attention just as quick as he hears it. Because in him is born, in him by nature, a carnal spirit. And the power of the devil is so great today till it catches that spirit of that little one. Mm-hmm. And how much more will it do to the old then that has rejected the new birth? I'm still quoting. Because only as your life is changed and you've been converted and born anew into the kingdom of God, your nature will still be of the things of the world. No matter how religious you are, unless that's been changed in you, you can worship and be religious, but still that will have some kind of drawing power in you, because the old man of sin and his desires is not dead in you yet. But let Christ once take the throne in your heart. Those things don't bother him. It's so much greater. Hallelujah. You can come to church and you hear the preaching and you hear the music and you can be like the Samaritan. You can pay homage to this God, go right out of here and pay homage to another God. That's what so many do. For Jeremiah would say, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Can't you see these foolish virgins that we read about? They're going to be led to fountains of living waters. And who is the fountain of living waters? It's Christ that they received as a pardon from sin, but they don't go on and receive his life. And he said they've hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, there are people that are sitting here. Listen, Brother Branham, sitting here as church members, and you want to do right, but you're drinking from a tank.
They'll never tell you these truths. You just accept what you want to accept and go on and think it's good enough. This has got to quench all of your thirst. The only thing to come is take the promise of God and come to that fountain. Then He will quench that thirst. He that drinks from this fountain shall never thirst again. You know, here again, this is what the foolish virgins are missing. They are missing the Holy Ghost. And that's what they don't have, is oil in their vessels with their lamps. This is why they end up in the tribulation. This is why they miss the rapture. John 7:37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast. Let me tell you, that's where we are. That's where we come. This is the last day of the feast. Amen. Come on. What a wonderful feast. It's a seven-course menu. I'm quoting your prophet now. It's a seven-course menu. He said, for all the seven seals are open. You see, the mysteries have been revealed. The last thing has been given to the church. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. There is no other message after this. Not to the Gentiles. We've received our last message. Amen. There is not another message to follow this one. If this one don't turn your heart, there's nothing else going to turn your heart. If this don't bring you back to faith, ain't nothing going to turn you back to faith. You miss this, you miss the rapture, you miss everything. You wind up in the tribulation period. And then the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, it couldn't come back upon man until Jesus was crucified and died, buried, rose again, and ascended back to glory and sent the Holy Ghost back. And Jesus was already preaching it. Amen. He was already telling them it's going to come. But he said, you know, those that believe would receive it, but it wasn't yet given. Amen. And he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Now, not as the church said, not as a message believer says. Just recite a creed and say, I belong to church, and, you know, I agree with serpent seed and predestination, and, you know, and that God sent a prophet. Let me tell you, it's more than believing. Amen. It's more than believing. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Amen. Amen. So you see, you must believe. That's for sure. Amen. But there's something got to follow believing. So well, I believed and I was baptized. That's wonderful. But you got to receive the Holy Ghost. He's the thirst quencher. Now again, he says, I can tell you tonight whether you've received it or not. Because if you receive it, then out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you can't stop it up. And you can't dam it up. And you can't make it quit. Amen. It's going to bubble up whether you're in trials, whether you're in deep test. Amen. In temptations, it's going to bubble up and wash the trash away. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. It's that personal experience with God. Jeremiah 2:13 says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Jeremiah 17:13 says, Oh Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountains of living waters. Said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Amen. For thou art my praise. Let me tell you, if you're going to be healed, it's going to be him that heals you. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be him that saves you. Amen. He's the only thing that can heal those scars and those wounds in your life. Amen. Where the hounds of hell has wounded you and hurt you and scarred your life until you're right down to the lowest pits and down in the dregs of humanity. But I'll tell you what, you cannot go so far that he can't reach. Come on, he can reach further down than what you can even look up. Amen. His arm is not short that he cannot save. Amen. He can save those who you think are unsavable.
Listen, this God of mine has saved people I gave up on. Amen. People, I just said, they can't, just forget them. You know, you can't even save them. They're beyond salvation. And God in His grace would go way beyond me and reach down, amen, and save those that even I thought was unsavable. Amen. Because it ain't me, it's Him. Amen. It's Him. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved. Amen. For Thou art my praise. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus used that symbol of His flesh as His word and His blood as His spirit. And He said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I'll raise him up in the last day. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:13, He says, we by one spirit have all been made to drink into one spirit. So drink. That's what the Holy Ghost is. We know what it means by drinking the blood. It's taking His life, His spirit in our life. He is the drink. He is the drink that your soul is thirsting for. Now, you see, the bride isn't being led after tribulation into the fountains of living water. She already has the fountains of water before the tribulation even comes. Let me challenge you in the scripture, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. So this is not the bride in Revelation 7 that's being led into fountains of living water. She has received and has become the fountain of living water. Because Jesus said, when you believe on me, as the scripture has says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus would say, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, what a promise that is. Amen. Oh, my. Just think about you. He's ordained you, and he's promised it. We have come here to the blood life. We've come to where you can receive the very life of God. Sometimes I think we miss what has actually happened in our age. Listen, Azusa Pentecost was not the return to Pentecost. You cannot return to Pentecost without Malachi 4 to restore. How can you get back there without the message of restoration? Are you with me? Amen. So again, we have come back to the original blood life. We've come back to the original outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You can receive the token just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Not a jump, not a shout, not a motion, not a profession of faith, but the person himself come and live on the inside of you. Oh, what an hour that we're living in. And that's more than a substitute. It's more than just a pardon from sin. Oh, people accept Jesus as their Savior to pay their sin debt. But let's suppose, think just a moment. Let's suppose you had an enormous debt you couldn't pay. Anybody ever been in debt? In this age, this society? Are you kidding? Debt? Everybody's got it. Well, let's suppose you have an enormous debt and you can't pay it. You have a note for your house and you refinanced it and you've tried to pay it and you can't pay it. And now it's thousands of dollars a month. And you're grinding away with all the sweat you got trying to pay that. And your car is in hock. You don't own anything. You can hardly rub two nickels together. Everything is terrible because you have such a debt and you can't pay it. You know how it is when the creditors start calling and they start hounding you. And you can't even answer the phone anymore without thinking, will it be a creditor? I know what you're thinking. Thank God for caller ID. You know, when I first got caller ID, somebody called me and I'd say, hello, so-and-so. And they said, did the Lord speak to you? You know how it is. Creditors are calling. They're hounding you. You can't answer the phone without thinking, will it be the bank? Will it be a creditor? Will it be the finance company?
You go down to the mailbox, and you're dreading what's in the box. You know, a letter comes in, we're cutting off your lights. We're taking away your home. We'll be out to repossess your car. And you become hunted. Pay this debt. We'll take your soul down into prison. We'll burn it in the lake of fire. We're coming after your soul. And the man's working, paying, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to pay off the debt. Sleepless nights. Horrible days. Can't face nobody on the street. You owe your mom, your dad, your brother. You own this and that one. Everybody's tried to help you and you can't pay it off. Finally, one day, a rich man comes along. He's got wealth. Lots of wealth. And he says, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to pay off all your bills. What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm going to pay your house off. My whole house, we owe $150,000 more than we had, and we're behind on the payment. We got another interest payment. Yeah, I'm going to pay it all off. Your car. We're going to pay your car off. But we still owe $15,000 on it. And I'm behind 6 months on my payment, and they're going to come get it tomorrow. Paying it off. Just bring it to me. My light bill, 6 months behind, paying that off. Everything else, I'm going to pay it off. Today when I sign these notes for you, you're going to be debt free. Brother, you talk about emotion. You'd get emotional, wouldn't you? Amen. You talk about peace, all of a sudden you'd find relief, wouldn't you? There would be shouts. There would be rejoicing. My debt is paid. The debt I couldn't pay was paid. And you'd go around skipping around, you know, because you feel like a weight was lifted off your shoulders. Amen. You meet everybody you're talking to on the street and shake their hands. You're not afraid to take a call anymore. You're not hiding out somewhere, you know, afraid somebody was going to come and with another threatening letter and a creditor's coming and you're going to repossess. It's all paid. Yeah. And you can go now and start a new life. And you could even go and make new debts. Because even though one paid your debt and became your Savior to save you from loss, you still wouldn't have the nature and the life of the debt payer.
All right.
And there are many people, says, God saved me from my sins. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. And they feel the emotion. And the big burden lifted off of their lives. But then they go back and they make more sin debt. Because the nature and life of the debt payer has never come into their life. And that's what's lacking in the Christian world today. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. And they've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And they do works of sanctification, but they lack His life. There's no outflow of the Holy Ghost. And that's why spiritual life is stagnant. You have to become living waters. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Oh, that's what it takes. And Brother Branham said, there's something wrong. There's something wrong in the church today. He said, the devil can impersonate anything, but you can't produce in that line. But notice then, it shows that there's something wrong. The life of Christ isn't flowing through the church the way it should be. The body, the bride, is not going through there like it should. Now, it finally clogged up somewhere. So what's wrong with so many churches in the land? What's clogging it up? We receive the theology of the blood as a substitute, and Christ as a debt payer, that he is our sin offering, and he surely has paid our debt. But friends, in this glorious covenant, there's more to it than just receiving money from a rich man. And have forgiveness of debt. But the kinsman redeemer is rich enough not only to forgive you of your sins, but to give you of his life. Amen. Amen. And then take your sins and place it upon him. Put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. But more than that, give you his life, where you no more go out and make more sin debt. We got a world today that says, well, we're all sinners. No, we're not all sinners. We were sinners. But we have been saved. We're no longer sinners. Come on, somebody. Amen. We're no longer sinners. Amen. No, sir. We are no longer sinners. Not whatsoever. We're sons and daughters of God. That's a revelation the church has got to have. We're sons and daughters of God. We have been set free. And we have not been released to go make more sin debt. We have been set free to go serve the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's exactly right. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not new, you know, better intentions. It's having the life of the Spirit of God. People say, well, I'll go to church. I don't want to go to hell. But you're still attracted to that boy with the wavy hair, the girl that you have a lustful eye toward. You get pulled this way and that way. You're still attracted to that sound of the world. And if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. Amen. Amen. Listen, sin nature has to die. I prayed for a boy. You know, I've seen the Holy Spirit move, seen people delivered like that from cigarettes. We got a girl in our church there. Her mother was a chain smoker. She was a chain smoker. Her mother was a charismatic preacher's wife, could never get delivered from smoking. She came there to the church, and God began to deal with her heart, and in one instance set free. Amen. Never to pick up a cigarette. Today, a saint of God. Continuing right in the faith. But I had this one young man. He kept coming to me. Brother Tim, I want deliverance. I got these cigarettes. You know, I want deliverance. I want to live the right kind of life. I'd pray with him. He'd come again. I'd pray with him. And then, you know, he'd try to do good for a while and he'd fall right back. Finally, he looked at me one day and he said, Brother Tim, you know what my problem is? I said, I think I do. He says, you know why I can't give up cigarettes? I said, why? He says, because I love them. I love them. I said, you are loving something that's destroying your life. It's giving you asthma. Your lungs is filling up. You are dying, but you love it. And I said, you'll never be delivered till you hate it. Amen. And he reached the point one day where he began to hate that thing. Amen. And he began to say, I don't want this no more in my life. I despise this thing. And that was when God came down and delivered him. Amen. And he's a son of God today with a testimony of an overcoming life. Amen. But he had to come to that place where he hated sin. That's right. And as long as you still love the world, as long as you still want to dabble with the world, let me tell you, you can never be delivered till you hate that devil. And I don't know why you'd hate him and why you'd love him, because he hates you. He'll destroy your life. He'll wreck and ruin you. He'll take and destroy your marriage. Come on now. We're living in a time, friends, where pornography is right at our fingertips. Two clicks away and you're there. And people claiming the Holy Ghost and feeding on that stuff. Come on, that's not the Holy Ghost. There's a thirst quencher. Amen. It'll be there. Listen, somebody won't have to come along and put a code on your computer to keep you out of it. The Holy Ghost will be there. You won't need a watchdog. You won't need a pastor somewhere to go with you. There was a brother come to me, or a man one time come to me, and he said, Brother Tim, I could live right, but you'll have to go with me everywhere I go.
Say, you have to go with me to work. If you go with me to work, I can live right. You go with me to the store, I can live right. I said, no. I said, that ain't going to work. I said, hey, you know, I could go with you and you still wouldn't live right. But if you ever get Jesus, Amen. He'll go with you to work. He'll Amen. Go with you everywhere and you'll live right. Glory. Amen. That's what you need. Amen. But sin nature has to die. Before you can receive the Holy Ghost, see, you're only believing unto eternal life. These don't go into living water. We're reading in Revelation 7 until the tribulation is over and they appear at the white throne judgment where they're finally led into living waters. They're given life. So they didn't get it. So they don't go into rapture because only those that have the Holy Ghost is going in that rapture. But when he comes, listen to me now, he's coming for himself. Amen. And you don't have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost. He's a thirst quencher. He's the only thing that can satisfy the heart. Now, you know, a church like this, we got to be a fountain of living waters. Sometimes unbelief, sometimes church theology, sometimes our past things get clogged up. And Brother Branham told us, and I'm having to quote now, just paraphrase some things so I can end this. But he says, you have to take something. And he called it jigging. And he said, you start probing whatever it is that's blocking that flow. Amen. And he said, you keep pushing, shoving, until finally the plug comes out. Amen. And then the gusher of the Holy Spirit comes right down. Amen. And I'm just telling you tonight, amen, if there's been something that has been holding that back in your life and it's not flowing, it's time that you take the jigging of the Holy Spirit and go to probing. Lord. Say, Lord, whatever this is that's hindering me. Whatever I hadn't made a full surrender, Lord, I want to make a full surrender. In this church, we want this church to be a place where that God can send those that are thirsty. Amen. The thirsty woman, the thirsty man. But it be a fountain of water. Amen. Bubbling up in eternal life. Amen. It can't be just another broken cistern. It's got to be a place of life. Bubbling up. And I'll tell you, if it ain't that way where you're going to church, you need to find some place where you can go where the water of life is flowing freely. Or else get a hold of something and go to jigging until the Holy Spirit begins to flow unhindered. It's time, friends. The thirst quencher's here. Let's bow our heads together. I want you to think of these things. I want you to think of them tonight. Maybe you hadn't known what's wrong with me. So what's wrong with me, Brother Tim? What's wrong with me? Preacher, tell me what's wrong with me. I'm miserable. I'm about ready to take my life. I'm miserable. I've tried this and that. Something else. And I've made vows and I've made promises. And I said I'll do right and I'll do better. And I make promise myself and I can't keep them. What's wrong? You see, even there's a spirit right now that I hang over you like a cloud. Said, it's not the time. It's not the hour. It's not even for you. You've done sent away your day of grace. Let me tell you something. The very fact that you're here tonight shows you hadn't sent away your day of grace. The very fact that you're in this building tonight shows that there's a divine appointment for your life. Amen. And that God has brought it where your way and his way meets. And you're right here in this little group of people tonight where the Holy Spirit could speak. And if you would just know, if you just know the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, he's speaking to you tonight. Amen. If you just recognize it, that Almighty God has come this way from glory tonight to speak to your heart, to reveal himself to you. Amen. He wants to change your life. He wants to take you, cold church member, and make a real son or daughter of God out of you. He wants to take you, backslidden person there that's just kind of drifted along for a long time. He wants to make a real child of God out of you. People are looking for something real. And let me tell you, there's something real. You say it don't last. I'll tell you, I'm proof that it lasts. Amen. Amen. There's others that are proof that it lasts right here in this building tonight.
Amen. Saints of God that have stood the test of time. And he's here tonight to deal with your heart. He's passing by your way. He's been speaking to you through the word. And he's saying to you now, if you're thirsty, come. Come to the water of life. Maybe tonight, maybe just a little move toward God. You see, sometimes it doesn't take much. Sometimes it just takes that move, that first move toward God. Maybe just an uplifted hand that just says, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Jesus. God sees your hand. Would there be somebody else that would raise a hand and say, Jesus, don't pass me by. I need you. Here you are. He sees you. Hear my humble cry. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others you're calling, don't pass me by, Lord. You call this and you touch this one's heart. Lord, you've saved this one, but don't leave me out, Lord. I need you. I want you just to come, Lord, tonight. I want you to speak to my heart. You've been dealing with me through the word, through the message tonight. I want to change. I need a change. Listen, hounds of hell is on your trail. He'll reach and grab you, swing you around, then all his dogs will get on you. He cares nothing for your life. He's the kind of friend that'll talk you into doing something, then talk you into robbing the bank, and then call the law on you. That's the kind of friend the devil is. You don't owe him nothing tonight. I see a thirsty soul. So I'm a sinner, Brother Tim. I see a thirsty soul. I'm lost, Brother Tim. That's a great revelation. Would there be somebody here tonight, while we're just letting the Holy Spirit move, that would raise a hand toward God and say, I'm lost. I'm lost. I need a Savior. Would there be somebody raise their hand to God and say, that's me. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God even saw your finger raise. God sees you. Amen. Listen. No man seeketh after God, no, not one. It's God seeking man. It's him coming to the pawn shop. It's him calling you tonight. It's him that's saying, come to me and drink. You'll never thirst again. There's an answer. There's an answer. There's a longing. Oh, just let him speak to you tonight. And Lord Jesus, I need that touch. I need that touch. What about you Christians here tonight? Say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But oh, if you want to see a greater flow of the Spirit in your life, a greater flow, unhindered, so in love with Jesus. The world just goes strangely dim. Just get so in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. This is him. This is him coming right down in this building. His presence is here. He's here to bring deliverance. He's here for you. He come by your way tonight. So you hear my humble cry, Lord. You're calling others. Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. I need you, Jesus. Amen. And I want you to be more than just my Savior and pay my sin debt. I want your life to give me overcoming power that I can live an overcoming life. Amen. God bless you. Father, we're your children tonight. You said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You said that no one could come to the Father except by you. And unless you drew him first, and you have drawn, Lord, you've talked. They couldn't even raise a hand toward God, couldn't lift a finger toward you. Except, Lord,
You moved on their heart. That shows there's still mercy. That shows there's still a living God. There's still a presence of God that can change a life. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. And their sins, just by accepting that great trade where they trade their sins for your righteousness. Where the Bible said you became our sins that we might become the righteousness of God. May the righteousness of God come down upon these hearts, Lord, tonight. May the flow of the Holy Spirit come move away doubt. Could it be for me? Is it possible? Is there hope for me? Is there a chance? Oh, God, and not knowing they're that little sailboat. They're that one that you've come looking for. You've searched. You've searched all over, and you bring them to this divine appointment tonight. Two ways are meeting together, and the Holy Spirit is moving upon a heart. And there's church members tonight that says, I want another touch from you, Lord. I want the hindrance out of my life. I've seen failures. I've been hurt by problems and situations. And even churches and preachers and everything else let me down. But Lord, you'll never let us down. You'll never let us down. I just pray, Lord, for renewing of the Holy Ghost. That you'll move so real in this meeting. Lord, this weekend. May this just be the start of good things happening. The Holy Spirit begin to move, Lord, in hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. While on others, that thou art calling, don't pass me by. Could you invite him to your pew tonight? Could you invite him to where you are and just say, Lord Jesus, just come to me. Come to my soul, precious Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it, Brother Nathan. Pass me not. Oh, pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior. And just hear my humble.
Just hear my humble.
Oh, yes. While you're calling, while the Holy Spirit's still moving. While it still been teaching, while it's still pulling lives, while on others thou art calling.
Thou art calling.
Amen. Don't pass me by, Lord. Come by my way.
Do not pass me by.
Come on, sing it now, Savior.
Oh, we're crying.
Savior. Savior. What a loving
Savior.
What a loving Savior.
Won't you hear my heart?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit just bids come. Amen. There might be somebody want prayer tonight. Let the Holy Spirit wash away every sin. Deal with your heart tonight. Amen. Oh, don't pass me by. Come on. Invite him to your pew. Invite him to your heart tonight. Amen.
Oh, yes, we're crying.
Savior. Amen. Savior. What a loving Savior. Amen.
On your call.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Not pass me by. Oh, yes, we're crying, Savior. Oh, my Savior. Won't you hear? Oh,
Maybe you're here tonight and you'd like prayer. Maybe you're seeking salvation and the Holy Ghost. Why don't you come and have these brothers pray with you tonight? Oh, we'd be happy to do it. Let's sing together tonight. Oh, we're crying sick. So many physicians, yet grew worse. So did Jesus. She came, oh, and when that crowd tried to restrain her, oh, she just whispered. Jesus, it's all that really matters. Oh, then your life will never be the same. For there's only one way to touch Him. That's just believe.
found when I knelt at the altar. Oh, he said Jesus could meet my every need. When this prisoner, oh, finally touched Jesus, he set me free. Oh, praise his name, I'm free indeed. Oh, it's touching Jesus, Lord, it's all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Oh, there's only one way to touch him. Yes, Lord, that's just believe when you call on his name. Oh, I know that touching Jesus, friends, it's all that really matters. For then your life will never be the same. There's just believe when you call on. Let's sing it again together. Oh, it's touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. Oh, then your life will never be the same. Oh, there's just believe when you call his name. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. You appreciate the word of the Lord tonight to us. I believe he's speaking to hearts, and thank God for his presence. Can you imagine that little woman? I like how Brother Tim said it. She met the seventh man. Oh, my. Thank God for that seventh man. He was the fourth man one time in a fire. Amen. But that, when the darkest of hours, it might seem dark, it might seem miserable, it might seem terrible, but then that's usually when Jesus comes along. Sometimes he allows things to happen to get our attention, but he'll be right there on time. Amen. Can you imagine if she went into the city that evening and said, oh, I met a man. They could meet her. Maybe they'd known her whole life since she's a little girl, and say, there's something different about you. What happened? She could say, oh, mercy. It rewrote my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but his mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. Is that your testimony tonight? Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Thank you, Lord. God's mercy rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul, it rewrote my life. Oh, it was God's mercy, friend, it rewrote my life. They can rewrite yours too. Oh, yes, his mercy, it'll rewrite your life. When I should have fallen, my soul, man.
I know it's a little later tonight, but if you went out to some worldly entertainment, paid $14, $18, $20, whatever, and it was over in an hour, you'd be disappointed. So we're trying to give you your money's worth tonight. You know, if you go to a ball game and they get into the ninth inning and the tenth inning and double overtime or whatever it is, you're excited and jumping up and down. But sometimes when us preachers go into double overtime, people get tired and weary. And amen. But as long as it's the Holy Ghost, I don't care how long it goes. Amen. If it's the Holy Spirit moving, I don't want to ever be held accountable for quenching that. So, amen. We appreciate the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All I can say is, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Oh, I can't repay from my heart. I would like to say that I, oh, Lord, I thank you. Oh, we say thank you, my Jesus, Lord, for all the grace that you have given us. Oh, I can't repay from my heart. I would like to say that I, oh, Lord, I thank you. Oh, we say tonight, we just want to thank you, Lord, for every soul that's come in, Father, for every healing, for every one that you've filled with the Holy Ghost, for every testimony, Lord, standing here present. No doubt we can sit down and talk to each one about how that you moved in their lives, Father, over the years, and how you've been a present help in the time of trouble, Father. Lord, may you just comfort each one, Lord. Be with these services this weekend. We thank you, Father, for what we've already received, and we're just looking for more, Lord, just to see you moving in our midst. And may your Holy Spirit just have preeminence in these services, Lord. Be with the time of fellowship tomorrow, Lord. Protect each one, and Lord, may you protect each one on the roads and all that we do. May our fellowship and our conversations and our motives, our desires, may it be pleasing to you, Father. May we have your thoughts and your words, and Lord, may we just take everything that's within us, Father, that's impure, Father, and just lay it aside so that you could come in and fill us, Father. Help us tonight, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all, Lord, all you've done. I know I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, let the church say thanks. Oh, thanks, Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for all you, all that you're gonna do, Lord. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, everybody say thanks. Oh, thanks, oh, I God bless you. Dismissed tonight. Let's sing it as we go. We want to say thanks. Oh, thanks. I give you thanks, Lord, for all you've done. I know I
give you.